slightly on hold our plan to do our bigger piece of Judgment and Justice and History in America, because we felt like what we had planned, I'm a little echoey, Dan, which kind of makes me feel like I'm even greater than I am in my own mind, but maybe slightly too echoey. We'll see. Yeah, I think that's better. Yay! Yeah, awesome, thank you. So we're going to hold that and put it next week because it was kind of such a big piece, and I knew that we were going to be doing some other bigger pieces later on tonight, and so the Lord just kind of shifted us and goes, how about we wrap up James 1?
Yay!
And we'll do that segment. It fits with some cool things that are happening, and then we'll head on to that piece on judgment and justice and history in America and what's happening in culture and what James is really kind of like flipping right side up, and we'll do that next week. Greg was not a fan of this plan, I'll let you know.
No, but if you did not have the chance to look up Lady Justice on Wikipedia or whatever, Googling it.
This gives you one more week?
Yeah, you have one more week to do that. History of Lady Justice.
Yeah. No! But if you want to, it's really, really fun. Well, because I was watching a show, and it had, you know, little clips of different pieces, and there was a flash of Lady Justice because it was a legal show. And the Lord said, look at that symbol. And I'm like, yeah, okay, it's Lady Justice. And he goes, I want you to look at how that compares to James. And I'm like, I don't think it compares at all to James. Like, I don't even get the connection. But he also said, you didn't think Charlotte's Web connected with the Nativity story, and look how that turned out. So I said, all right, let's look at how Lady Justice compares with James. And boom, with the dynamite. Like, all the pieces and threads that are so phenomenal in James. Thanks, Dan.
And if Charlotte's Web could be a Christmas movie, right? We all already know that Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie.
It is. I'm with you. You know, there's no fight for me on that. It's one of the best Christmas movies ever.
I don't think I've
right?
seen
that. Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon 1.
Pick 1, 2, 3, whatever. Hey, if there's a Christmas carol in the movie. There's a whole lot of firearms. I'm in! Okay. But thanks for, yeah, that was good. That was a good comment. I like that. It's part of this teamwork thing we got going. Yeah, I like it. So, what the Lord started to do is help me understand that what James is really wanting to accomplish is not to show us how to live a better Christian life. What he's really wanting to do is to show us how to demolish evil by proving to us who we really are. And that has everything to do with judgment and justice and how our system works in this world. In fact, I discovered that our justice system in America is really based on retribution. That's our justice system. And the Lord goes, what if there was a different kind of justice? So we're going to unwrap that. But before we get to that, we're going to kind of wrap up James 1. And kind of segue into the meeting that we're going to have tonight, because I will tell you, I just feel like the Lord has been blowing up my brain. And he has opened up a whole new space for us to conceive of and discover what he's doing in our lives and in this region and in this country. And I believe that there is a space that is set aside for us in the Spirit for us to run quickly in what God has meant for us in this season. I'm getting phone calls from people and texts and emails of people in our community, in our group, that are going, this just happened. You know, this just happened. Dan shared a revelation that he had that he would probably go, well, that was a big deal. Look, he's looking at me right now going, what was that? What was that, right? Big revelation happened. I know, right? Sometimes it takes like, you know, light shining on it to see that. Christy had a massive revelation open up for her, and I feel the Lord opening up a space in the Spirit for all of us who will say yes. I want to inhabit that space. I don't want to be pushed back. I want to rise up, and I want to move from a servant mindset into an owner mindset. So we're going to... I'm going to pause for a moment because I feel the Lord just like shifting my entire game plan right now while I'm sitting right here, and I'm going, whoa. So, would you pray for us, with
sure.
us?
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I have no idea what the game plan is, Lord, but Apparently you do, so. Just invite you to just, let us agree with what your plans are for this evening.
Yes.
That's all I got, amen.
That's good. Have any of you guys felt like kind of a more intense pressure in the last month? And a little bit of something happening with that. Is anyone in that place?
Can you explain further? I don't know what that means.
Pressure? Is that what you're asking me to explain further?
Yeah, like define pressure.
Yeah. That's a really good question, Eli. So I have started to discover there's these like seasons that happen with breakthrough. And so what tends to happen is things are kind of clicking along in your life. And then it seems to like everything feels more negative. Circumstances don't necessarily have to change, but all of a sudden your perception of it feels not great. You feel less able to cope with what you could cope with before. You feel more frustrated, more depressed, more whatever that is. And so there's an intensity, I call it pressure. Are you with me so far?
I'm getting there.
Okay. I so love you. And there seems to be a tipping point that happens in your perception of what's happening in your circumstances. And you either pop into a place where you kind of spiral downward and go, this is hopeless, this is helpless, and I really need some serious help. Or you pop into an elevated perspective of your circumstances. And that's, I usually call breakthrough. And it's the difference of seeing your situation. Like one of my favorite comedians, who I don't remember his name, always had these funny, odd things that he would say. Like, for example, have you ever gone ice skating on the opposite side of the ice? Right? Takes just a second. And I love that dry humor. And you're like, that would be underwater, right? And that was his whole shtick. Just helping you see things from a slightly different perspective. So the pressure thing would be, I'm clicking along and all of a sudden I realize I'm ice skating from the bottom side of the ice and I need to breathe, but I can't breathe and I can't get air and I need to get on the other side of the ice. Yay! Breakthrough! And then all of a sudden something clicks. And you find yourself popped up above the surface, and you're like, it's much more fun from up here. So I hit a wall recently. Apparently a couple of you have also. And then the Lord popped me onto the other side. And I feel like he is sharing with me in ways that I haven't ever heard him before. And he's sharing deeper and faster and more powerfully than I've ever heard of. And it's making me shake in my shoes, but it's also making me excited because I felt like what he promised me was, he said, would you like to host my presence? And I said, I think I kind of do that pretty well. But I started to understand in that invitation, he said, would you like to host my presence with other people in a group? And that was a different assignment. It's a different level of relationship. I believe that every person, the Lord said, no, I told you, every person who came tonight was in the midst of a breakthrough. And every single person who came tonight has a place that has been set aside for them in the Spirit to run faster, to hear more clearly, to experience Him easier. And it's yours. It's yours. It's been set aside. So that's happening right now in our lives, this last couple of weeks, and heading into this next place. So does anybody want to jump in and say something before we move on? Anyone connect with what I'm saying? Or yeah, go ahead, Eli.
Well, so when Taylor was kind of like, so both of them are with us. It's not just God. It's like his angels are also with us and walking with us. And then Taylor, I think it was either that night or the next night, called Jocelyn, and Jocelyn told Taylor her story about her angel pushing on her away from the river, and that just kind of opened a bunch of things up for me. So I'm like imagining, like not imagining, but kind of hearing what my angel has to say about things.
Mm.
Like, so the morning after Taylor kind of revealed the whole angel thing, I was getting my socks on, and he's like, why do you call your socks tube socks? Well, so when you put them on, they go around your calf, and they kind of look like a tube, so, I mean, it's kind of tubey. So I'm like, and then he's like, oh, okay. And then he's like, you're a Reuben theory. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm just too lazy to pick it up. And then he's like, I can get that. And because those responses were so kind of like quick and witty that I couldn't think of myself, like in the moment, I knew that it was my angel kind of telepathy. Like,
right. Do the little. Oh,
and
that's really fun.
While you were talking, I just kind of, not actually see, but I can imagine and kind of sense where other people's angels are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're either like sitting next to them or like standing behind them, putting their hands on their shoulders or like one hand on their shoulder. Right now my angel's sitting in that chair. I just tell. His name is Alex. So, yeah, that Taylor Revelation opened up a lot of stuff.
So you guys are all aware this is, like, not anything anyone else is willing to deal with, right?
Strange enough, you were trying to get people to skate under
ice.
People don't want ice. We're in Arizona.
We did get a cool call from Christy and Dan, and Taylor's going to share a little bit more about having her awareness open, a little bit more of what's happening in the spirit. And it was really fun to get that call this week because several of her experiences were very, very similar to experiences that I have had as well, becoming aware of angels and how they're operating in our lives. And I was excited for her to have that experience and have that awareness. I was excited that all of us are coming into greater awareness of what's happening in the spirit. Our kids are becoming more aware of what's happening in the spirit. And instead of it becoming this sensationalized like thing, it's becoming a life transforming thing. And I hung up the phone and I'll have to be honest with you, I went, ooh, super excited. And also, ooh, because they were like, hey, we wanna share. And I'm thinking, so what we're going to have is a whole bunch of kids with imaginary friends making up stories and calling it their angel. Awesome. And I'm going to have parents not so happy about that. And how are we going to navigate that? And so I asked the Lord, I'm like, okay, what do you want to do about this? And he goes, yeah, this is why people aren't willing to facilitate people's experiences with God. Because it's called facilitating people's experiences with God. And perceiving what's the Lord, and perceiving what's an emotional desire, and perceiving what's a flat-out attack. And that's the beauty of the journey of life. I'm sorry, I'm not going to protect anybody from that, because we're all in it. Whether we're aware of it or not, we're all experiencing the spiritual reality of what's happening in the earth. It's just whether or not we're very aware of it. So I'm actually not really protecting anyone, and nobody else is, you know, able to protect anyone. And so I'm realizing, and so I asked the Lord, I'm like, what do you want to do about this? And he said, so clearly you're ready. Because he had shared with me, some of you know that Jocelyn has kind of popped into some new giftings since being a part of our group. And several other people have as well. And some people have gotten their gift in tongues. Some people have seen some healing. Some people have given prophetic, many people have given prophetic words that they've never given before. People are experiencing, you know, a level of the Lord's presence in their life and his conversation in their life that they've never experienced, right? And so this is happening everywhere. And I asked the Lord, you know, what is that all about in terms of like people popping into some new giftings? And he said, there are so many gifts that I do with the Holy Spirit that I hold back because it needs to be, it's for a community of people, for one. So it doesn't operate for an individual. It operates for the community. It's for the encouragement and the lifting up of a community. And he said, and if there is no community there, that gift cannot be activated. So how many of us have been waiting to step into levels of conversation with God that will not be activated until there's a community of people that can be blessed by it? Doesn't that encourage us? Because that means that there's a level of what we know we are meant to have with God that really cannot be activated because it's not just for us. So that helps. Because it's like, oh, what's wrong? Why am I not getting it? Well, you just happen to be running in a community that's going to be blessed by that. So that's helpful. Also, he doesn't release it in a community that can't steward it. Because when he starts making moves in people's lives, we get to steward him, his movement, his presence, what he's doing. That's what we get to steward. We get to steward that in the earth. It is a tangible thing that changes everything. It's like you just got and won the lottery. When you have a piece of the Lord to steward, it changes things, transforms people. It changes circumstances. The presence and wisdom of God changes everything when you walk in the room. And so the Lord said, clearly, you're ready. We're ready to steward some moves of his. Isn't that great? We are ready to steward some giftings. And we don't have to wait and hold back. We can jump in. Jump in. In fact, Tom, I'm hoping you don't mind, because like I don't know what you're going to say to me, but you shared something after church last week that I've been thinking about all week. Do you mind? I was going to have you share it, but do you want to share it? What you said about the water? You don't want to share? Okay. So Tom said, when I first came here, I was like, I don't, you know, he goes, I kind of had a bad attitude. I was like, really? You did? I didn't notice that. He goes, yeah, I kind of was like, I'll see, but I don't know. And he goes, I put my toe in the water. And he goes, you know, and then I came back, and he goes, you know, the water was kind of up to my ankles. And he goes, now the water's kind of up to my waist. Don't listen for this second. By the way, he's like way over his head. I wasn't going to say it. So he goes, the water's kind of up to my waist. He goes, during worship this week, which was last week, he goes, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you know, you don't have to wait for the water to overtake you. You can jump in and start surfing now. And I feel this invitation from the Lord to shift out of the place of being a receiver and start to be the person who goes, I want to go survey the land that has been given to me that I have inherited. I'm ready to put on my shoes and go survey the land. The land in my marriage, the land in my parenting, the land in my relationships, the land in my family, the land in my workplace. I am ready to put on my shoes and go walk around the land that has been given to me. And if there's a bunch of giants living in my land, it's time for me to give them notice that it's time for them to move out.
Come on.
Because it's time for me to stop waiting for things to happen. And I'm ready to stand up and take my land.
Yes.
And be more proactive and be more assertive and say, Lord, you promised that I would hear you clearly. You said that I was born of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's in me, that Jesus is in me, that I have access to all wisdom. Now do what you said you were going to do.
Yes. Amen.
Wow, it's like I'm preaching or something. What? So 2 weeks ago, can I just tell you, I was super depressed. I just, not like a real depression, just like, you know, that momentary thing of like, ah! And I felt like I could hardly get out of bed. Yes, that happened. I know you see me and you're like, oh, okay, let's pretend that's not happening. Right? Did you even notice?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He's like, if I just keep moving, it'll pass. Just keep moving through our day. Just keep moving through life. She will eventually get up and it'll be okay.
In the meantime, I'll just keep...
You'll just keep working. I'll just keep moving. And hopefully I won't get sucked into the abyss that is happening over there. Right? I love you. You're so good. So, I didn't even know what it was, right? That's what happens. You get just this pile on and you can't even really sort through what it is that's even happening. Oh, and this is going to go to James. Yay! We are going to get through James 1.
We're not going to get to James 1.
We are. I can feel the threads coming together. Such a girl. So, so I couldn't sort out what I was so upset about. And I was kind of, I'm only just going to be really honest. I was kind of bummed that we don't have like 100 people here. Because I'm going, we're hosting a space. I don't know why they're just not here.
I'm not bummed about that.
Yeah, you're not. You're like the less the better. I just barely learned the names that are here. I don't need more. These are all I can love.
Come on.
I'm sorry I added you. Anyway, so.
But,
right? I'm thinking, like, you know, now I know that we started in the summer and then we did the whole, like, Christmas Saturday night thing and Saturday nights are still kicking our buns. You know, I know that. But I'm just going. You know, I get why people drive so far to be here. I would drive so far to be here. Because I want to run in the presence of them. I want to look in other people's eyes and know that they're wanting to see me the way God sees me, and they want to see me better than I'm able to see myself. And in their gaze, I am able to see myself the way He made me. That's what I want. I want my kids to grow up knowing. Do you? I asked my kids last night, if you could do anything with God, what would you want? What would you want to do with God? And you know what they said? Abraham goes, I want to talk to him and have him talk to me.
To play on the Wii with him.
Right?
Like somebody to play on the Wii with him any time he wanted to play.
That's a good idea. It's a really good idea.
But he wanted to
talk to him. He wanted to talk to him. And Darby said, I want to have a conversation with God and have him talk to me like every day. That was the thing they both picked. And they kind of both said it all at once, and I was like, yes. The fact that they even think that's possible, and nobody's telling them, be afraid, be very afraid, don't do that, don't want that, because that's what I grew up with. Don't want that, be afraid, that can go bad. You know? And so, I'm not understanding why there's not 1,000 people here, right? You know, miraculously with no marketing and a really bad time slot. You know, I'm going, I don't get it. So I didn't know what that was about, but it's that thing, right? That pushes you, that makes you feel like you're skating on the underside of the ice. And so I had a friend who said, well, you know, is it because you feel like, you know, you might look like a failure? I'm like, oh, shoot, I never even thought about that. Now I have to add that, you know, I'm like, oh, right, there's that.
I'm not worried about that at all.
I know.
When we started this church, we knew it would not last forever. Mm-hmm. So it's going to end sometime.
This is true. It is. Because there's going to be another move. He's going to make another move. He's going to, I made that move. Now I'm going to make another one. Yeah, okay. Anyway. So. So I had my hike. And I said, I don't know what I'm upset about, but I'm upset. I'm upset that things... I don't know what I expected, but I expected something different than this. Anybody relate to that? I don't know what I expected, but I expected it to be better than this. I know, right? So he says, let me show you what you're really upset about. He goes, you actually really don't care if there's a bunch of people or little people. That doesn't matter. And I said, yeah, I really don't. He goes, you don't care about success or failure. Like, you gave that up a long time ago. It took a long time to die.
That's another story for another day.
It is. But it did die. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, what died? I'm sorry, I lost.
The need for success.
Yeah.
So.
But, well, there was a day that the music died too. But
there's also that. So he says, here's what you're really upset about. And this is the beauty. We don't know what's pushing on our emotions. We're going to get James 1 in there and wrap it up, whether you want to or not. We don't even know what's pushing on our emotions, and we don't even know what the hidden agreement is that we have. It just pushes and pushes, and it nips at our heels, and it nips at the back of our mind, and it nips at our joy and our peace. It nips until it's devoured our day. And the Lord says, you're not upset about any of those things. What you're upset about is you're wondering, am I going to do what I said I was going to do? And he said, that's exactly right. Your deal with me was, don't you want to see 100 people looking at each other the way I see them? How fast could they run? Wouldn't you like to see about 1,000 people looking at each other the way I see them? What's possible? If one person's agreement with God is greater than a city's agreement with the enemy, how powerful is 100 people's agreement with God about humanity, about our life situations, about our marriages, about our kids, about autism, about healing, about brain damage, about injuries, about whatever? What is possible with a whole bunch of people agreeing with God? That's why I said yes to this gig, because otherwise we'd have an RV and we'd be touring the national parks, because that's spiritual. So he said, that's what you're upset about. Am I going to do what I said I was going to do? And isn't that the core of all of our disappointment in one way or another, if we actually care about what God's doing in our life, is, are you going to do what you say you are and will do? Yes, I just put that on the table. And so the Lord said, well, it's time to get on the other side of the ice. And he goes, because I need to show you what I'm doing. And he just lifted me up and said, I am making this move. I'm making this move. And I'm making it with you or without you. And you are on this track or you're not. But you'll see it from the front seat, or you will see it from the side seat watching someone else, because I am making this move. You have been making decisions based on what you perceived about me for 10 years. You left your job, you left a two-income home and bought a one-income home based on what you perceived I was saying about your life. So let me show you, and he just did. And that's that whole key about what faith really is. Isn't faith isn't me trying to believe something about God. It's him showing me what he wants to say about my life and me agreeing with him. And by the way, my ability to agree with him is from him and from the Holy Spirit. My ability to agree with God is a gift. And if I don't have it, then I need to ask for it. And not try harder and not perform my way into it, but ask so that nothing that doesn't agree with God can dwell in my being. Oh, that's my warning. See? Greg goes, you're not watching time. And he goes, and you wrapped up for 20 minutes? That's like another sermon.
I always say, like, I'm in a land,
and then they just keep going. Exactly. Thank you. See, Jill doesn't mind, but everyone, anyway. So then I said to the Lord, that was really harsh, and he really hurt my feelings. And he would be so much better if he would just believe for me to be able to end on time than if he would just make me feel bad about it. But then I went, but he doesn't know quite how to do that yet, so I could ask for that. And the Lord says, why don't you put an alarm on your phone, like 5 of them? So I do have 5 alarms on my phone for Sunday night, or Saturday night. And that was the second one. Third. That was the third. First is right before we do music.
Sweet.
I know, right? Isn't that genius?
It's modern technology.
That's the Holy Spirit fighting for you with me. So... James 1 says,
oh. You're just doing this to prove that you can.
Okay, here's the best thing and the worst thing about this book, I'll tell you right now. The best thing about this book is it will rock your world and change everything. The worst thing about this book is it's going to rob you of all of your own experiences with the Holy Spirit, where you're going to flip the scripture yourselves. Yeah, so I'm telling you, that's why I didn't read James right away, because I'm like, I don't want you to hand it to me on a plate. I want to learn it with you by myself. Neither one is better than the other. Just know that that's the best and the worst thing about the book. So good. James says, I have a couple minutes. Yeah, dude, that'd be great, thanks.
So, we all know, like, the timing is always perfect in this building. That's just how it works out. And we've watched, like, sermons come together, like, right as, you know, we're all contributing, and it's so beautiful. But even before you started talking, I just was going to share. I'm feeling a little bit awkward because it's maybe, like, counterculture to talk about how the Holy Spirit has invited me into this new season, but I did get a total invitation to live by faith in a huge, huge way. To that, I'll just say it because I don't know how to like make it sound good, but that it was okay that I had the Holy Spirit's permission and invitation to leave my super unhealthy marriage. And I did, and every time that I allow the enemy to put the guilt and the pressure and the, like, murkiness back in, things just, like, you know, I'm starting to skate underwater again. And there has been such this invitation, like, I will show you what it means to live by faith. And every time I get perspective and step into it, it's so easy. Like, so easy. Because I'm living in this home that is gorgeous. I totally can afford it. And every month I pay my rent, I don't even know. It's like a miracle, like a pure miracle. But it's just living in like how the Lord promised. I have this invitation for you, and if you just walk it out, it's going to be good.
Yes.
And it is. And I just keep popping into goodness after goodness after goodness with a lot of pressure, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
But okay, it's thank really you, Joel. Yeah. Woohoo!
We like being entwined with you, Jill.
Yeah.
It's growing before my eyes. Do you see?
Oh, don't blame me. Julie is the whole entwined one today.
So good. There's the passage that says, when you have won against temptation, you're crowned the victor. Don't you feel supported and loved?
I do.
God is on your side.
We need a rooster.
Okay. I put 6:05, I have one more alarm. 6:05, that's my dead stop. Mm-hmm. And I've always read that part of it where it says, you know, you win this, you know, you win this crown when you have proved yourself, is basically what the passage says in most of our versions. We are on, in fact, you could do it for me. 1:12. Could you read that for me in whatever version you have up? Except for unless it's this one.
Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Okay. So, Jocelyn, you love James. You've never had a problem with any passage in your entire life, and somehow that didn't hit you right. I love that. Yeah, it's like basically if you pass the test, you'll get the crown of life, which many have perceived like eternal life. So if you pass the test, you're going to get eternal life. And what was the very last part of it?
The Lord has promised to those who love him.
Right. And while I really want eternal life, that passage just doesn't feel super encouraging to me. It feels like, geez, I have a whole lot to fail. I might pass the test in the end. And if I do, I'm thinking I'm going to get eternal life, which sounds really great. But I'd really like to have the full life you promised now. I came that you might have joy and that you might have it to abundance, overflowing, pressed down, shaken together. That's what I came for. I want that now, my circumstances. I want to walk out in the territory of my life and tell the giants that are inhabiting my marriage, my relationship with my kids, my finances, my job, my relationship with my parents, whatever it is, I want to tell those giants, today I tell you, you are moving out. And the new owner has moved in.
Amen.
And you are now served notice. That passage, when you look at it a little bit more closely, and you don't look at it through the lens of it telling you how to live the Christian life, but you flip it and recognize that what James is wanting to do is to put religion on its rear and show you who you really are. He says, truly, and when you have endured during difficult times, I'm just taking this from what I think. And when you have endured during difficult times, you will be proven to have passed the test. And God will crown you as a victor publicly in life.
Right. All right.
All right, game on. What?
It's much different.
It is much different. So, my one frustration with the Lord was, are you going to do what you say you're going to do? Am I investing in this thing because we are going to go on this adventure and see what's possible with a group of people who are learning to see themselves the way God sees them? And learning to live as true stakeholders in this earth now, who are learning to own and possess their life and be a victor, publicly honored by God as the winner over what? Over evil. The winner over evil. I have evil happening in my life. I want to be the victor. I want to be proven that the Jesus in me already won that victory, and I'm just being convinced. I'm just being convinced I'm the victor. That's what this is all about. It's about us becoming convinced that we are who God says we are. We just need to be more convinced. Yes. That was the first piece. Last piece, 1 minute. This is what it was. I was feeling slightly discouraged because I felt like everybody was getting pushed back to not step up and go, I am going to run. Does that make any sense? Like just, you know, just push back just a little bit here and there, nipped at the heels, just push back. Just pushed a little bit under the ice. And I was ticked because I can see who you are. I'm talking to the Lord at night. I'm talking when we're hiking. And man, everyone that I know is way more magnificent than they're behaving. And I'm mad. I'm mad. I'm like, if you walk out of here and you haven't given 4 people a prophetic word, you need to slap yourself. What are you doing? Run. Run in the space that's been given to us. Run, because I can't run higher till you run higher. This is the weirdest message, Nicole, for you to hear the first time. Oh, you're just so good. So. So I felt the Lord say, oh, they're getting pressed back. And I said, yeah, I think they're getting pressed back. He goes, I think they're getting pressed back too. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? He goes, what are you going to do about it? I said, I didn't know I had a role. He goes, you have a role. Call them up. Not like, I didn't even know I was ever going to tell you this, and this is where we got to go. Oh, my alarm didn't go off, so this is it. He said, call them up in the spirit. That's part of your part. So I'm learning how to do my part. All of us are learning how to do our part. All of us are learning how to move from a slavery mentality. We have a history of thousands of years of humanity that has been crushed in our mindset that we are slaves in the earth and not the landowners and inheritors of the earth. And we are in this generation becoming capable of perceiving that we are the true landowners. And do you know how we know this is true? Do you know how we know that this is actually, that we have won the fight that has been assigned to us? Our kids get it. Our kids are living in the mindset that we are all winning. Okay?